Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now Stephen Dubner of Freakonomics and Freakonomics Radio is back to talk about brothers, two sets of brothers in particular, the brothers Tsarnaev and the brothers Kaczynski. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
So back in 1999, you interviewed the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, at the Supermax prison in Colorado, where he was sent after being convicted of that string of mailed bombs. People may remember that after a years-long manhunt, it was his brother David who turned him in after figuring out that, oh, my God, my brother is the Unabomber. So at what point did the brothers Tsarnaev start reminding you of the brothers Kaczynski? Are there parallels for you?
Well, so it's a story that to me is a study in parallels and then a study in contrast, fortunately, in the case of the Kaczynski brothers. So I'll be honest with you, the moment we began to learn that the suspects in Boston were brothers, it popped into my mind because Ted Kaczynski, who as you said, I interviewed back in 1999 for this article I wrote at the time for Time magazine, he was famously, as you said, turned in by his brother David, who made this really, you know, heroic and difficult act because even though he'd been estranged from his brother Ted, he loved him very much, and they'd been extraordinarily close for many years, so close that they did share a worldview. So for many years, the two of them were kind of in love with nature and hated how society had become over-industrialized, how society had become impure, you know, politically and in many other ways. And so really what the Tsarnaev brothers, when they were suspected and then charged, made me think of is really the pull of an older brother and what it's like when, you know, the bond between brothers is very strong. And I have three brothers, four sisters also, and I'm the baby. And I just know that there are instances where anybody in the world could tell you, anybody else in the world could tell you, hey, Stevie, let's jump off this cliff at midnight, or hey, let's set this thing on fire. And if it's anybody else, you say, what, are you crazy? But if it's your older brother, there's something in that dynamic that often will make it hard to resist. David Kaczynski, over time, pulled out of his brother's increasingly radical, increasingly fundamentalist, increasingly violent orbit. And from what we now know, and obviously we don't know that much yet with the Tsarnaevs, but the older brother led and the younger brother at some point joined in, whether he was pulled into the orbit somewhat reluctantly, we don't really know yet. But I couldn't help but think of those parallels.
So here's an excerpt, 30 seconds, from your 1999 interview, which is featured in this week's episode of Freakonomics Radio. You asked the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, what he thinks would have changed in David's life if he had broken off the relationship much earlier.
Let me put it this way. I think that his attempt to, his sense of rivalry with Big Brother, his attempt to equal Big Brother and to win Big Brother's approval with very limited success, I think all this was very hard on him. I think that his self-esteem would have been in much better shape if he hadn't had me to compete with or compare himself with. And I think he would have, I mean, he always had an easy time making friends. He would have had close relationships with other people, so he didn't really need that relationship with me.
Can't they find a less echoey prison to put the Unabomber in? But it's interesting that that's his interpretation. Instead of seeing David's act of turning his brother into the authorities as a simple act of doing the right thing so no more people were blown up by bombs, did it seem to you that Ted was interpreting it all in the context of a deep, psychologically and emotionally fraught relationship?
Yes. The short answer is yes. I mean, here's the thing. What struck me going back and listening to these tapes after many years is how Ted casts himself as the aggrieved party, as the older brother who was brilliant, who was fighting the good fight. And again, this is a guy who never who never apologized, never expressed regret at all for any of the crimes, and casts his younger brother, the one who split from him and who turned him in, as the one who wasn't radical enough to be taken seriously and therefore kind of, you know, went back into the mainstream, which was a mistake, and then, of course, turned in his brother, in part, Ted argues, out of resentment against the fact that he, the little brother, could never equal the big brother. Now, so that's kind of my point. And again, you know, most of what we do on Freakonomics, I should say, is empirical. This is not. This is anecdotal. We're talking about one set of brothers and how it might might reflect on another set of brothers. But can you imagine having an older brother like that who tells you, you know, that up is down and down is up, and after a while you start believing him? And if that older brother has violent intentions, those might become your intentions too. And that's really what we're trying to look at in this piece, is to see that the pull of the older brother and how hard it can be to get away from.
Well, let's not just imagine it. Let's see if any of our listeners have any experience short of being roped into a bombing plot. And we've just got about 6 or 7 minutes left in this segment, but we can take a couple of calls. If you've ever faced a decision where you wanted to help your sibling or follow him or her down a path that you knew was wrong or wrong-ish, and you struggled with whether to do it. Obviously, David Kaczynski went one way, and apparently, from what we're just starting to learn, Jokhar Tsarnaev went another. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And these are the very extreme cases. We know, though, that there's a strong bond between brothers, between sisters, and maybe you've been thinking about this just as Stephen Dubner has following the Boston bombing. So call us and tell us if there's a time in your past when you had to decide whether or not to follow or defend or turn against your sibling when you were sorely tempted to do the opposite. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Stephen, obviously, with the Tsarnaev brothers, the investigation is just beginning, but most people will probably think, I don't care how much a 19-year-old idolizes his older brother or is under the sway of a power dynamic with his older brother, he's 19 and should know that bombing is totally bad and that he makes a choice as an individual. So are you even suggesting there could be a psychological process that we come to learn about in which a more innocent brother is so swayed by that relationship?
Well, I guess if one would say that I were making that argument, that argument would not be at the expense of other arguments, which is to say, you know, there's nothing mutually exclusive here. Look, if you look at recent terrorist acts, including 9/11, you know, among the 19 hijackers, there were, I believe, 3 sets of brothers there. So 6 of the 19 were brothers. Now, does that prove conclusively that the pull of a brother within a terrorist context is stronger than the pull of either a peer or even a stranger who happens to be aligned? No, I have nothing empirical to say about that yet. Look, we're still relatively in early days of figuring out what makes people do this kind of thing. We also have to contextualize constantly and remember that these are anomalies. You know, one thing, we write a lot and do radio a lot with Freakonomics about crime and wrongdoing and so on. Mm-hmm. And one point that I just want to continue to make is we get obsessed and talk, just like I'm talking right now, about the terrible things that sometimes happen. And yet one thing that strikes me repeatedly when you really look at the numbers is instead of emphasizing how these terrible things happen, it's great to step back and appreciate sometimes how incredibly often nothing terrible happens. And so just to remember that inevitably these anomalies get treated like big stories, and we sometimes mistake them for the norm, when I think it's good for all of us to remind ourselves that they're not, and that most brothers don't lead each other into anything good resembling that.
Good statistical point. Okay, some quick stories. Maria in Mars Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, right to the point.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say that I was 11 years old and I was at a grocery store and my sister dared me to steal something. And there is something very compelling, that relationship with a sibling, where anybody else in the world could tell you one thing, but a sibling has that
dared you to
power.
Yes, dared you to steal something. Did you do it?
I terrible. At that point, I knew morally right from wrong, but because she really feared me in a very sadistical way, I did.
It's a great case in point. So here's another clip from the Freakonomics Radio piece from the 1999 interview that Stephen Dubner did with the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski. This is about a minute exchange, and it starts out with Steve asking Ted Kaczynski a question.
If the roles had been reversed, if you had suspected David of being the Unabomber, right? After all the years that you haven't been communicating very regularly, what would you have done?
I would have kept it to myself.
Is that what you feel he should have done?
Yeah.
And what was the first, what was your reaction to that when you first hear that David is involved in turning you in? What does that feel like?
Well, obviously I resented it. There was another strain to my feelings there. I don't know if I can explain it properly, but in a way I was almost glad because my own brother turning me in a sense made me feel good.
Wow. So he thinks his brother turning him in as the Unabomber made him look good. Did you understand that?
Well, in the podcast, you can hear the conversation goes on a little bit. His argument is how do I say this? It's compellingly bizarre to my mind, but his argument is essentially that it was tricky because I said it made you look good because only someone who knew you so well could know that you were the one who had eluded everyone. And then he says, well, I didn't say anything about eluding anybody because he had pled guilty, yeah, but never admitted to the crimes. Mm. But the implication is that, yes, that the only person who could have the access to really think the way I think is a blood brother. Because I was so brilliant as to be above everyone else.
Mark in Manhattan, we have 20 seconds. What'd you and your brother do?
Yes, well, when we were kids, there was a big snowfall, and he goaded me into joining him in throwing larger and larger snowballs off of a 12-story roof until eventually we threw one we could barely lift, and it crushed a car.
Oh, boy.
And if anybody else had asked you to do it, you would have said, no, I don't do that kind of thing.
No way. I was terrified, but I wanted to gain his approval, and I just my take from it is that when you're young, the older brother is this godlike figure you want to please.
And that's where we have to leave it. Mark, thank you so much. And Stephen Dubner, thank you so much. The Kaczynski interview from the 90s and excerpts from it, at least, re-airs on Freakonomics Radio, the current podcast, and on the air this weekend.